Okay, well, if you have your Bible, would you turn to the book of Proverbs? Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Now, this is a familiar text, I'm sure, to all of you. I would imagine that most of you, when you go to a youth conference or when you go to youth camp or something like that, you're going to hear a passage like this. And if you haven't heard this passage preached before, I promise you, if you keep coming to church, you're going to hear it time and time again. But I have to understand that in my own life, what I need more than anything is a constant reminder of God's truth. And this is what this is going to be today. It's probably a reminder of what you already know. It's going to be, you've heard it before, but we just need to be reminded. So could you tune in with me now? I know it's Friday, and it's like 9:30, and you all probably got like 4 hours of sleep last night. But do your best to stay awake and pay attention, because I think that even Solomon in here says that these words are going to help. They're going to be a help. And they'll be going to be a help to you. So if I start to see the glazy-eyed look, I might just come down and scare you. How's that? Or if I hear, then I'll ask Brother Ted to wake up if that happens. Okay. So let's tune in. Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse number 20. Here's what the Bible says. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Hey, could we stop for a second? And I want to say that portion together. Can we say that together? Ready? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to preach and teach to the young people here. Lord, I ask that you'd help them to pay attention. I know it's been a long week. Lord, would you arrest their attention with your word? And would you help me, Lord? You know that I need your help. And Lord, this is just going to be useless exercise if you're not helping and you're not working in the midst of us. So I ask that you'd help us here today and help me even to lay some groundwork for the service that will take place after this, Lord. We just thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Has anybody ever heard the nickname El Chapo? El Chapo. Does anybody know what El Chapo means? What's El Chapo mean? What's that? Yeah, he's from Mexico. It means shorty, El Chapo. The shorty is what it means. It's a Spanish name, and I can't even pronounce the man's real name, so I'm not even going to try. But his name is El Chapo, and it's a nice, kind of cute, unassuming name. But make no mistake, this man is a very wicked man. He's actually a drug trafficker. If you don't know what a drug trafficker is, it means that he just makes illegal drugs, and he ships them to different portions of the country, like the United States of America. And this man's name is El Chapo. He's 5'6", just a short, little, unassuming, seemingly innocent little man. But make no mistake, he's dangerous. And I mean real dangerous. You know, El Chapo was born in an abusive home, and he was kicked out of his home, just slightly older than what you are. He was a teenager, and he was kicked out of the house, and his father was a drug dealer, and soon this man, El Chapo, followed in his father's footsteps and became a drug dealer. Well, as time went by and the older he grew, whoa, that's not nailed down. The older he became, he got more and more powerful. This short, little, unassuming, seemingly innocent little man, El Chapo, became more powerful. And it was the early 1990s when his boss was arrested because he killed an FBI agent that El Chapo took over the drug cartel. And this man took the drug business to a whole new level. He was making, listen to this, $1 billion a year. Not a million, a billion. The man's a billionaire. He was raking in money. And you know, he would create these gangs of people that would protect him and his empire and his money. And then they would go out. And it's recorded that over 1,000 men have been killed by El Chapo and his men that they know of. This man's wicked. I mean, he's just 5'6", but he's evil. 5'6". He takes these drugs, and if you don't know the effects of drugs on a person's life, it wreaks havoc in their lives. It destroys families, and it destroys it would destroy your mother and your father. It would destroy your life. And he is handing these and selling these drugs into people's lives, destroying homes, murdering people. This man El Chapo is wicked. He's a little shorty, is what his name is. Don't you think a man like that ought to be locked up? I mean, wouldn't you say a man that wicked who destroys homes and who kills people and he sells illegal drugs and he makes money illegally, don't you think a man like that should be locked up in jail behind bars, you know, guns pointed at him? I'm talking guarded by people in a maximum security place. A man named El Chapo, he ought to be behind bars. Well, in 1993, El Chapo was arrested. El Chapo was put in jail in a maximum security prison, sentenced to 20 years in maximum security. I'm talking, you seemingly can't get more secure than that. But in 1993, El Chapo started to whisper to the guards, those people that were supposed to be protecting or guarding him so that he doesn't get out and that he doesn't escape, so that he doesn't wreak more havoc on the people around him. And they're saying, they're guarding him, and he's saying to them, listen, shh, listen, psst, guard, come here. The guard comes over, yeah? What do you want? I don't want to get out of the jail cell. I just want a little bit of leeway. Just a little bit of leeway. Could you just let me run my drug business from behind bars? I'm not asking you to let me out. I'm not asking you to let me go free. I'm just asking you to let me run my business from behind bars. I couldn't do that, another guard would say. Well, are you sure? Name your price. Well, okay, how about $10,000? Sure. And somehow he would get this guard money. And from 1993 to 2001, this man named El Chapo was locked up behind bars, but he was given the leeway, and he was able to run his drug business from behind bars, still making money while in jail. Can you believe it? Well, it was in 2001 that he slowly began to bribe these guards, one after the other, until this little man, this little rich man, this little assuming man, El Chapo, had everybody with him, and he was giving these men money, and money after money after money. They were rich now because of him, and he was saying, what, are you going to earn a living? Are you going to take care of your family off of the meager amount of money that these people are giving you? No, you need more money, so why don't you just listen to me? Come here. So soon enough, in 2001, this wicked, dangerous man who had wreaked havoc on lives for years upon years, they put into a laundry basket, they put clothes on top of him, and they wheeled him right out the front door, loaded him up on a car, and El Chapo, this little wicked man who deserved to be behind bars, who is dangerous, I said dangerous man, is now free and on the run again. So from 2001 to 2014, this man, El Chapo, was living the high life. Running from the police, yeah, but he was still bribing them, and he was still making money, and he was still living the high life. He had all of this money, and El Chapo was free, yet wicked. And guess what happened in 2014? They caught him again. This slippery little wicked man got away. But they caught him again, and they put him back in jail. And the man that was in charge said, "This man will not escape again. We promise that this man is behind bars, and he will not get out of jail again. If he escapes this second time, it'll be worse than the first, and we promise he won't get out." Well, guess what happened? 18 months later, little El Chapo had started to bribe more guards, and he was saying, "What do you make a year? How much money do you make a year? I'll double it. I'll triple it. Listen, you can't be satisfied on what they're paying you. Listen, I can fulfill your dreams. I can fulfill your desires. I'll give you exactly what you want if you just listen to me. Would you just let me out?" Just let me out. Listen, I'm not even asking you to let me out. I'm just asking you to let your guard down. Just turn around and walk out for a while. Well, you know what El Chapo had been planning the whole time before he was even put back in jail? He was so wicked that he assumed he was going to get caught again. But even when he was free, he was planning his next escape. So what had happened was there was a construction site a mile away from the jail cell where he figured he would be put if he was caught again. Well, he had men dig a tunnel. I'm talking about a mile-long tunnel. A tunnel where he laid it with train tracks. Train tracks. And he hooked up a motorcycle with train track wheels on it. Train track wheels. And then he said, "Okay, guard, go away." So the guard went away, and he paid him money, and he paid all these guards money to turn their back, just not to pay attention and not to look. And there was in his cell, he had everything he needed to live. He had a bed, he had a restroom, and he had a shower. It was basically all one room except for a little half wall. Well, he would go behind that wall, and he would men would come through that tunnel, and they would knock out that wall, and they'd put up a false wall so that one day, when the time was right, he would push that wall back. He would slide through, put the wall back in place, climb down a ladder, hop on a motorcycle with train tracks, and he would drive away a mile to the construction site, climb up the ladder into a vehicle, which would drive him to a helicopter, and that slippery, little, dangerous snake is free again. The guards, well, they let their guard down. He bribed them, and he let him go free. They let him go free. But good news, El Chapo's back in jail again, because they caught him in January of 2016. Little El Chapo, he's a slippery little guy, isn't he? He's a briber. Well, can I tell you this? I'm not here to talk to you about the dangers of being a drug lord, unless it's you. I'm not here to talk to you about the dangers of being a drug lord or the problems with drugs. I'm really talking to you about something that is within every single one of us, and it's like a little El Chapo. It just wants to get out, and it wants to sneak away, and it wants to wreak havoc on you, and it wants to wreak havoc on those around you. It's called your heart. No. Not me. You don't understand. I read this little Facebook post, and it had a picture of a beach with the waves crashing up on the seashore, and it said, "Follow your heart." It was so sweet and pretty and beautiful. It looked like if I followed my heart, I'd be living life on a beach the rest of my life. Well, wait a minute, friend. What does God say about our heart? If we have to consult what's true about what's in each and every one of us, what does God say about our heart? Where he says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Deceitful, it's a liar. Your heart will lead you astray. And if El Chapo, which is so dangerous to people around the world, needs to be locked up, I can tell you that what God calls our heart and what he tells us that our heart is, being dangerous and wicked, it also ought to be locked up. Because I would imagine that to most of you, El Chapo is not an immediate threat to your life. But I'd imagine that what dwells within each and every one of us, the wickedness of our heart, is a threat to you, and mine is a threat to me. And it must be guarded above all else. You know, Solomon is writing this to a son. So it's a father talking to his son. And he wants his son to know that, listen, there's basically two paths in life that you're going to face. Well, there's a lot of different winding roads and paths. It really boils down to two. It's the path of wisdom or it's the path of your heart. It's wisdom's way or you're following your heart. And they lead in two totally opposite directions. And I want you to understand this, that this is a book of a father, this is important, speaking to a son. And here's what he says to his son in verse number 20. Look at it. He says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. He says this, attend. It means to perk up your ears, to listen, son. Incline thine ears. It means to extend towards and grab hold of my words. I need you to grab them and don't let them depart. That means in the future, when you're older, I need you to understand this. Don't forget what I'm about to say to you, because what I'm about to say is going to be good for you. So reach for them, attain them, grab hold of them. Don't let them go. Keep them in the midst of your heart, like the heart is the center of the being of our being. But he's saying, keep these words in the center of the center. Keep them in the center of your heart and make sure that you give them attention. Well, why should I? Well, he says this. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. The word life means to preserve life. He says, the words I'm about to give you, they're going to preserve your life. They're going to keep you in the right path. And if you're off path, he says, they'll give you health into your flesh. The health means to heal, give healing to a flesh that is corrupted by sin. So he's saying, son, listen, if you're on the right path, these words that I'm about to give you, they're going to keep you on the right path. But son, listen to me. If somehow you've departed from words of wisdom and you've gone the wrong way, what I'm trying to tell you is the words I'm going to give you right now, they'll get you back on the right path. And can I tell you something? In seventh or eighth grade, it doesn't matter how old you are, we all have the tendency to get off the path of wisdom, to get away from what we're supposed to do. And I want to tell you that if you're on the path of wisdom and you're following what God has told you to do and you're listening to him, listen to these words, because they'll preserve your life. They'll keep you in the right place. They'll keep you on wisdom's way. But listen, if you've departed from the Lord and you've gone your own way, whether in your heart or in action, I want you to listen to these words, because Solomon is telling you, if you are departed from it, these words will give you healing. They'll protect you. They'll give you health. Son, please, can you see the urgency from a father to a son who sees that his son's heart has a sin problem? He says, son, you must listen to the words that I'm going to tell you. Listen, now if a doctor came to you and said, you've got a heart problem, a heart disease, and you're going to die unless you follow what I'm about to say, wouldn't you listen? I'm telling you, each and every one of us have a heart problem, and it's called sin. And if we let it out, it'll destroy us. But Solomon is telling us here today that there's a cure. But you got to listen. You got to incline for it. You got to keep it in the midst of your heart. So would you listen? Here's what he says. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know what keep means? It means to guard, to protect it. It literally means to keep in a safe, in a secret place. It's like you lock it up and you keep it in a secret place and make sure that it doesn't get out. Keep thy heart with all diligence, meaning above all. Anything that's worthy of being kept, whether it be money or whether it be fame or whether it be any material goods, if that's worthy of being kept, make sure that you're paying more attention to your heart than you are to your physical things that you have in life. Keep it, son. Keep it above all else, with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. Okay, little anatomy lesson about the heart. Okay, do you know the heart is a muscle in part? It's a muscle. It's not just a muscle, it's an involuntary muscle. Okay? So an involuntary muscle. Here's a voluntary muscle. This is a voluntary muscle. It's my arm. Okay? I tell my arm when to contract and when to flex. My son is 15 months old. 15 months. I'm pretty proud of this. I've already taught him how to flex because every boy should flex. And when I tell him, I say, Jay, show me your muscles. He'll go, He'll give the good grunt and he'll go like this. It's odd and awkward. He won't do it normal, but he'll go, and he'll get the face, you know, all red and good. He'll flex. That's called a voluntary muscle. Guys, you know when a girl comes up and touches the back of your arm and you flex like this because you want her to think that your arm is always that rock hard, and it's not, and you're not fooling anyone. You know, it's like when you do 10 push-ups, because you're getting to that age where you're starting to get bigger muscles now. You know, you're starting to grow. And you can do like 10 push-ups, and then you go to the mirror, you take your shirt off, and you lock the door, and you're like, oh, yeah. You do it. You do it. Every boy does it. Come on. Every guy flexes in the mirror. I was this big when I was in seventh grade. Of course I flexed in the mirror. I'm a boy. We want to see our muscles. That's a voluntary muscle. The heart is an involuntary muscle. And what that means is I don't have to walk around telling my heart to flex. You know, the heart just beats. It contracts. It flexes. I'm thankful that I don't have to tell my heart to flex, to contract, because I would forget. And you know, if your heart stops beating, you die. I'm thankful the way God made the heart is that the heart just beats. Just poof. Well, how the heart works is blood comes up into the heart and it goes down into the lungs. And the lungs put oxygen into your blood and it comes back up into your heart and the heart pushes it out to every area of the body. Listen, I'm telling you this, that you cannot stop your heart from beating apart for some pretty extreme circumstances. But just standing here, sitting here, you can't tell your heart to stop because the heart just goes. Yeah, but wait a minute. I understand that the heart's going to do what the heart wants to do, but I just want to let it out a little bit, just a little bit, just a little sin, just like that much, okay? Well, here's what he says. Here's the word. Out of it are the issues of life. Issues. This word means the goings forth. It's the source. You know the mighty Mississippi? The Mississippi River that runs from Minnesota to Louisiana and pours off into the Gulf of Mexico. You know how of a big and massive river that is, and it just flows. It's 2,500 miles long and it's massive, and water just pours through the Mississippi. Do you know where it starts? In Lake Itasca, and it's like this little trickle. It's like a little trickle of water that just starts slow. But as it goes and as it goes and as it goes, it just becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And what he's saying is, son, listen to me. You don't understand. You've got to guard your heart above all else. Because if you even let a little bit out, if you listen to a little bit, it's not going to be that bad at the beginning. But I promise you, when you're 18 and 19 and 21, Rehoboam, my son, listen to me. It's going to be huge. And it is going to be mighty. It's going to be bigger than what you can stop. Could you stop the Mississippi? You can't stop sin. And he's saying, son, keep thy heart above all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I want to tell you something. Your heart is going to tell you lies that it does not intend to keep and couldn't if it wanted to. Here's what it's going to say. You can't be satisfied under your parents' authority. Hey, you're in seventh grade. You know what's best for you. You can do what you want. You're in the seventh grade. You can date him if you want. Listen, your parents don't know what makes you happy. That guy will make you happy, I promise. You met him at youth con. You know he's godly if he was at youth con. I know that your pastor said that you have to save yourself for marriage or that you have to be pure, but he's just an old fuddy-duddy. He's not in the 21st century. Listen, it's fine to do that. There's nothing wrong. Listen, guys. There's nothing wrong with looking at that website. There's nothing wrong with it. At least you're not doing that. If you're looking at it, that's fine. Just don't do it. It'll actually keep you from doing it. So just look at it a little bit, and the heart's lying to you, and it's deceiving. You can go to that party as long as you don't drink. Listen, just let me lead here. You can just go to the party, but you won't drink. You won't get to that place where you're actually drinking. Listen, you can listen to that music. It's not that big of a deal. It's just music. What is music anyways? I mean, what's wrong with Calvin Harris or Drake? What's wrong with Rihanna or Adele? There's nothing wrong with them. Come on. It's just a little bit. Just let me out. Okay. What you said was wrong. What you did was wrong. But if you tell somebody about it, you're going to be in big trouble. And that'll even get you in more trouble, and you don't want that. Okay, so what? So what? You were created a man. If you want to be a woman, you can be a woman. Okay, you say, we're in 7th or 8th grade. Why are you talking about that right now? Because you hear it all the time. You hear it in through social media, and you hear it on television. You'll hear it in public schools. The fact that, listen, it's okay if you're a guy and you want to be a girl. The heart is lying to you. And somebody that tells you that is coming from a heart who has lied to them. And they're just regurgitating what their heart, their wickedness of their heart is telling them. If you want to be a man and you're a woman, that's no big deal. Just do what you want. It's your life. And the whole time your heart's saying, just let me out. Just a little bit. Just a little. Just follow me. Listen, you're not going to be happy on that way, what they call wisdom. If you just follow me, all that you need will be satisfied. And these are some of the tricks that the heart wants to play. But he's telling you this today. Guard it. Guard your heart above all else. Now, the rest of this chapter, the rest of this portion of the scripture that we're going to talk about, he just tells you ways in which you can guard your heart. So we're going to march right through these ways. If the heart is as wicked as the Bible says it is, then we ought to make sure that we are paying it attention above anything else. Above any iPad that you win today, or above any GoPro that you've won, I'm telling you, if you were to take that and you were to make sure it's safe and you were to protect it so that no other student here or young person could steal it, listen, if you're going to go to those extents to keep that stuff safe, you better make sure that your heart is safe above that, above all else, to protect your heart. And here's what he says. Here's how he does it. Verse number 24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Well, put away means to turn aside. A froward mouth is a deceitful and false, fraudulent tongue. It's just a liar. He's saying, those who lie, put them away. Those who are deceitful, turn them aside. And he says, perverse lips are those who have completely declined from the truth. You know, the world today is trying to tell you that what God says is wrong and what they say is right, and it's a lie. They're trying to tell you that we were not created by God, but we just kind of happened and that we evolved. That is a way that people have turned aside from the truth, and they're saying, put that person far from you. They're trying to say it's okay if you want to be a girl and you were born a man. They're trying to say that you can't be satisfied under your parents' authority. Or it's just normal for teenagers to go to those things and to watch those websites. It's just normal to experiment sexually. It's just okay to do that. Well, listen, we're living in the 21st century, and they're taking truth and they're bending it. And they're departing from it. And they're putting that in your ear. Well, what's the big deal with that? Well, listen, if they're putting it in your ear, it's getting into your heart. And what does the heart do? It only knows how to go. And it takes what's in it, and it comes out. And just like the blood that's pumped into the heart and comes out to the hands and comes out to the feet and comes to the legs and goes to the brain, what comes in the ear and gets to the heart comes out through your hands. And what you do and where you go and what you think and what you view and what you say, because it's getting into your ear. And he's saying, listen, son, I love you enough to tell you that the way that you keep your heart, one of them, is that you turn those liars away. Don't listen to them. Turn them aside. Put distance from them. Here's another way. 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. What he's wanting his son to do here? He was to look with pleasure and hope as to where the straight path would lead him. To look to the future with pleasure and hope as to where being on the straight path would lead him. Son, look straight ahead. Don't look at what's right before you. Look at what's off in the distance, son. Look with pleasure and hope that if you stay on the path of wisdom, if you don't go this way or that way, if you go straight ahead, that is going to be a great and wonderful path. It's going to be great for you, son. Can I give you some just quick relationship advice? Because you're in 7th and 8th grade, and you don't really need a boyfriend or a girlfriend right now. You know, if you just follow the path of wisdom, if you just look to the future as to how blessed it's going to be someday when you are at an age in which God intends for you to be with a man or a woman, listen, he's going to lead you on a path of wisdom. And he's going to lead this girl or this boy on a path of wisdom. And your paths of wisdom are going to cross someday. And then those two paths of wisdom are going to join. And they're going to lead down an altar. But you don't need it right now. Because you're not ready for it. So just keep walking on God's wisdom. Look to the future on where the path of wisdom is going to lead you. Yeah, I want a guy who is going to lead me, and I want him to be a good Christian. I want him to be saved. I want him to be a good father. I want him to be a preacher, and I want him to do all these kinds of things. I want him to be a great man of God. Ooh, look, he's cute. And you run after him. You know what might be right and good? Is if we just put the relationship stuff on pause for now and focus on becoming the person that one you described would want to marry. Does that make sense? Yes? No? Okay. If you want a person that is that great of a spiritual leader and a spiritual man and a man of God, it just might be that you need to become the woman that he would want to marry. Oh, can you grab hold of that, please? Ladies, would you grab hold of that? That don't just say, I want all this stuff and I want this. No, you become the person that man of God would want to marry. Look to the future with hope and joy as to where the straight path will lead. Okay, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Ponder just means to consider, to think about it. It means this, to roll flat. It's like, it would be like sanding something down, any kind of bump or stumbling block. You just sand it down. Think about it. Think about the rough spots in your life, son. I want you to think about it now as a youth so that you can smooth those out so that in the future they're not a stumbling block to you. He says, ponder the path of thy feet and all thy ways will be established. If you smooth out some rough spots now, if you just consider, then listen to me. You're going to be established in the future. It means to stand firm, to be erect, to stand on your own. To be strong. But you got to think about some rough spots in your life, whether it be laziness or whether it be addiction through video games or through social media. Can I tell you something? That, you know, I'm 34 years old right now, and I was around when Nintendo came out, like the Nintendo, you know, like Mario Brothers, the original one. And you know who's hooked on video games more than anybody right now? Men of my generation. 30s and 40 years old. Why is that? Because we came in with this Nintendo game system and all we did was just, we played it and played it and played it, and some boys now grew into men, yet they had never rubbed out those rough spots that said, listen, they didn't understand that this was going to affect them in the future. But it became a stumbling block to them now. And now men who are supposed to be leading homes and men who are supposed to be fathers and husbands aren't leading their homes because they're playing video games and are addicted to every sort of video game that comes on the market. Even grown men are playing Pokemon Go. Come on. Because they never smoothed out some rough spots in their lives. They never thought about, well, what is this going to hold in the future? And now men that are supposed to be established, they have a wife and they have children, but they're not the man they're supposed to be. Because when they were a youth, they never smoothed those things out in their lives. I'm telling you, you can save yourself a lot of problems and a lot of trouble in the future if you just think about some weak spots in your life, ponder them, think about them, and rub them out. Because they're going to grow in the future. Ponder. Turn not, verse number 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Real quick. So he says, turn. The word turn, it means this. It's like a progression of a word. It means to reach, to incline, to bow. Okay. To reach, to extend, to bow. And he says, son, turn not to the right hand or to the left. He's saying, son, listen, if you reach in your youth for something, it may not seem like much, but what you're reaching for now in your youth, you're going to worship in the future. You know, this is meant for one. This right here is only meant for one. This is worship, and it's meant for God above. And God is saying, Solomon is saying to his son, son, listen to me. This type of worship is only meant for one. That worship is meant for God. And if you reach for it in your youth, you're going to worship it in the future. Don't reach to the right hand, son. Don't reach to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Listen, the way you can do so is just simply to remove thy foot from evil. Just wherever evil is, just go the other way. It's simple. So he's giving his son instruction as to how to guard his heart. So can I boil this down for you? What he's telling his son, urging his son to do, is to guard his heart above all else by following his father's instruction. Did you get that? I want to say it again. He could guard his heart above all else by following his father's instruction. You know who Rehoboam is, don't you? It's Solomon's son. It's the man who Solomon is writing this to. And he's telling his son, son, you've got to walk in wisdom. Son, you've got to guard your heart. You've got to make sure that you're on the straight path, the way of wisdom. And here's how you do it. But guess what Rehoboam did? He didn't guard his heart. Because if you know the story of Rehoboam, it was a time when Solomon passed away, the king of Israel. And Rehoboam now was the king of Israel. And a man by the name of Jeroboam came to him and said, Rehoboam, your father taxed us to death. He taxed us and he taxed us and he taxed us. I want you to lighten our load. And Rehoboam, a new king, said, come back to me in 3 days. So he conferred. He talked to the wise counsel of his father, these old men with gray hair, and they gave him good wisdom. And they said, Rehoboam, if you want to keep these people, if you want to keep them on your side, lighten their load. Don't make them pay as much taxes. And then he went to the friends of his youth. It'd be like you, Andy, going to your friend here and say, what should I do? And he went to the boys that he grew up with. And they said, you don't lighten their load. You need to make it heavier. And you need to tax the life out of them. Tax them more. And he listened to a fraudulent tongue and a perverse tongue. And guess what happened? Because they did that, this man Jeroboam took 10 of the 12 tribes. And now he wasn't the king over Israel. He was just a king over Judah. He had this much, and then he was left with this much because he didn't listen to wisdom. He didn't guard his heart. He didn't listen to instruction. And then what that led to was it led to Rehoboam extending to the right hand. And know what he did? He extended. And he inclined, and he bowed to idols, and he worshipped these idols. And you know what the Bible's commentary is on Rehoboam? He did evil, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. You know what seek the Lord is? The word seek means to follow. It just means this. He was evil, because he didn't follow God. And he didn't follow his instructions. Well, you don't understand. I don't even have a father. I don't have a dad. He's never been around. And when he is, he hurts me. Or when he is, he doesn't care about me. And he comes home drunk. And he's worthless. He's not even a good father. And the words that he would tell me, they're not even worth listening to. They're empty and they're vain. Well, I want to tell you something here, young person. I know and understand and do not take lightly that you come. Some of you come from very difficult homes and very difficult situations in which you don't have a father in the home. But I'm telling you this, that if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, listen to me, please. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a heavenly Father above. And he's given you plenty of instruction to follow.
These are his instructions for daily life. And he wants you to guard your heart. And he wants you to be in the path of wisdom. And he's giving you the word of God to protect you and to keep you safe and to make sure that you're on the straight and right path. And not only that, if you've been here Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you've been given plenty of instruction by your heavenly Father above. And he's given it to you time and time and time again. I can ask you this. Are you listening to it? Are you listening to your Father's wisdom? Because it'll preserve your life. And if you're off the path, it'll get you on the right path. If you're not where you're supposed to be, it'll give you health. Listening to God's instruction will give you health. It'll protect your life. It will preserve you, I'm telling you. It'll keep you safe. You know, back in 2012... my wife and I, we traveled with one of the Heartland music groups, and we were in Arizona at the time. And the pastor there gave us a free day to go do whatever we wanted. And he actually said, I want you to go see the Grand Canyon. Go see the Grand Canyon. And you all know what the Grand Canyon is, this massive, huge hole in the earth. And he said, I want you to go see it. So we typed in the address. I guess the Grand Canyon has an address. But we typed in the address to the Grand Canyon into our GPS, and we took off. And we drove, and we should have been there at that time. And we drove another half an hour, and we still weren't there. And we ended up in Flagstaff. You know where Flagstaff is? It is not where the Grand Canyon is. It's like an hour and a half away from the Grand Canyon. And we missed it. Like, to this day, I still haven't been to the Grand Canyon. I don't know how I've missed that giant hole in the earth. I missed it completely. I missed the mark. You know what I was doing? I was following the wrong instructions. You could say we can say it this way. Just following the instruction of the heart. I'm just going to go where the heart leads me. I'm going to go this way, and I'm going to go that way, wherever my heart tells me to go. But if I would have been following the right directions, I would have ended up in the right place. Does that make sense? And what I'm urging you to do here this morning is to listen to your Father's instructions. We're going to go into one more service at YouthCon, one more opportunity this year to hear from the Lord at YouthCon. I'm asking you, would you listen? And would you follow your Father's instructions? Would you do so?